This episode is brought to you by BundleRabbit.com, Earth's most accessible book bundling marketplace. Welcome to The Everyday Novelist. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer, author of 24 books, 34 short stories, and countless articles and scripts and essays, and I am your guide on this quest to raise your output to pulp speed levels and to explore the cracks and crevices of business and craft in the writing life. Welcome to The Questions, episode 403. Today, Ian asks, as you have been deep in audiobook narration for some time, could you share with us any craft insights it gave you or reinforced?
Well, yes, Ian. Hard to verbalize some of them, so I may fumble around a bit. But one of the things that it really brought home for me that I hadn't really been convinced of before, though I'd encountered the thought, was how intensely auditory written language is. Now, you can do things with written words that are hard to do with spoken words. But if you're looking for prose that will stick in people's heads and that will really provoke them to moments of aesthetic epiphany or provoke them to thought, the way that they roll off the tongue has a lot to do with that. I later learned that there's a neurological basis for this. It's because we use our speech centers to process written language, so even if we don't speak a language, we're still hearing it in our head when we read it. And so that audible quality is associated with all sorts of touch and sensory cues that come from the sense experience of forming words in the mouth, and those all get touched on when you read words that are written out. So voice turns out to be hugely more important than I had ever given it credit for early on. I always thought it was kind of weird that I liked written words to sound a certain way. But it turns out that that's kind of how people work. So voice is hugely important and goes an amazingly long way towards making your prose irresistible. Or, depending on whose ear it falls on, making your prose unendurable. Because individual taste does come into the equation quite a lot. Another thing, I've learned that it's possible to control the speed of the eye as it reads by the way that you write. There's the easy stuff like your punctuation and paragraphing. That, it's pretty easy to deduce how that would work. But there's actually, down at a level of sound choices, of phoneme choices and word choice, you actually have a great deal of control over your reader's experience, and you can control the speed at which they read and the level of emotional engagement that they're reading at, the how seriously they're taking what you're saying. It's possible to embed sarcasm in non-obvious ways in the book so that you can misdirect your readers based on your word choices. They won't really know what's being done to them. But one of the ways that really good mystery writers control when the readers figure out who done it is by using language to give the readers information and then convince them to ignore it. And this happens all the time. And the other couple things that I've discovered is that my voice as a writer actually really is different than every other voice. You hear this, and when you read a book, you can tell kind of this was a Percy Shelley book or a Mary Shelley book or a Charles Dickens book. You can sort of tell within a few words if you're familiar with the author who's writing. But that's an academic awareness. It's a whole other thing to read your work out loud and to be hit with the full sensory experience of what your words are doing, and then to do with another writer and to read their book out loud. And you find their voice embedded in the words, and you find a music embedded in the words that controls pace and pitch and emotion and tone and irony and all that kind of stuff. So discovering how strong my writerly voice really is was a big reveal to me. I had always thought, like everybody else does, that I don't have a very strong writerly voice, that it's just kind of bland, no one would really want to listen to it, there's nothing quite distinctive about it. But of course, I could only convince myself of that because my voice is in my head all the time, and so it's the one that I hear all the time. So it, to me, is normal. But when you read your own work out loud next to someone else's work, you begin to hear how very, very different your own voice is. And one of the great shortcuts to understanding and honing your own voice is to read your own work out loud. some of the voiciest and most distinctive writers of the last 200 years have done that very thing. Edgar Allan Poe, Harlan Ellison, Stephen King to some extent. These people read their works out loud, and it really has sharpened their voice, for good or ill. I don't like Stephen King's voice. I love Harlan Ellison's voice. Even when I hate the story, I get stuck on his voice. And it's because he's sharpened it so well. And the reason I don't like Stephen King's voice, but I do like some of Stephen King's early books, are because his voice isn't as well developed or as sharp. And so I like the way he tells stories, but I don't like his voice, or some of the other things I've talked about recently. And so in his early books, I can enjoy the story and his voice doesn't get in the way because it's not as well developed. Later books, I'll wait for the movie. Always do. Or the BBC dramatization. That's usually quite good. The radio drama. Now, that's thing one I learned. Thing two that I learned is by reading other people's work as a performance, as if you're recording it for an audience, or indeed when you're recording it for an audience, soaking into their work, you actually can absorb some of the pieces of their voice that you admire. And you can enhance your own toolkit by reading aloud the works of other people. It teaches you things about language that you can't get to any other way. Things that the writer of that thing knew about that they might have not been able to verbalize if they were trying to explain the rule to you. Because writing and talking about author voice is a bit like writing about music or dancing about architecture. There's a certain point at which the ability to engage in propositional discourse breaks down, at least at the rational conscious level, but your subconscious is incredibly powerful, and you can use that to marinate in the voice of writers that you love and soak up the parts of their voice that really compel you and use that to enhance your own voice. And your own voice will not get lost, unless you're just trying to mimic someone. Your own voice will not get lost, but it will broaden and deepen and get more interesting and subtle. So those are some of the things I have learned through being an audiobook narrator and through being a voice actor. I highly recommend it to anyone who's interested in developing their craft and finding one of those great shortcuts to developing craft. This is one of the great shortcuts that is much less well known than it should be. Take some time to read other people's stories out loud. Take time to read your stories out loud. Even if you're not recording them for audiobooks, or even if you're only recording them for LibriVox, read your stuff out loud. You will learn things either that you can't learn any other way, or that take an awful long time to learn any other way. And you'll be able to pour some gasoline on your creative fire. I hope that helps, and I'll see you tomorrow. The Everyday Novelist is written and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and is produced by Artistic Whispers Productions. Visit our website at everydaynovelist.com and leave a tip in the tip jar or join the Patreon to support this podcast. The Everyday Novelist is copyright 2017 J. Daniel Sawyer and Artistic Whispers Productions, Inc. and is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License.